we present The Grumbleweeds. Albert, Carl, Graham, Morris and Robin in The Uncle Rubbish Show.
Well, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I'd never have guessed it.
Nor would I.
No, it's a surprise, all right. I wouldn't have thought it possible.
Nor would I.
It's amazing. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes.
Nor would I.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
What do you say, Wilfred?
Nor would I.
No, lad. What do you think about what we're talking about?
I don't know.
Why?
Because I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, why do you keep saying nor would I?
Because I don't like being left out of conversation.
Tell him, Melanie.
Tell him what?
Well, tell him what we're all talking about.
I can't.
Well, why not?
Because I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, you had enough to say on the subject.
Yes, I know. You see, I don't like being left out of conversations either.
Honestly, we're surrounded by barn pups. Ratface, explain to them what it's all about.
Actually, I can't. You see, I just heard you say it was unbelievable and that you'd never have guessed it, so, well, I agreed with you.
Why?
Well, I don't like being left out of conversations either.
So, there's only me knows what we're talking about.
Yes!
None of you have got the faintest idea of the bombshell that's about to explode, have you?
No.
Come on, Uncle Ruby, tell us.
I can't.
Don't tell me you don't know either.
Oh, no, no, I know. It's just that I've forgotten.
This is ridiculous. I mean... Think, Uncle Rubbish.
I'm thinking.
Did you know what it was before you forgot?
Of course I did. If I didn't know before I forgot, I wouldn't have forgotten. Of course there'd be nothing to forget, would there?
Just a minute. I'll have to work this out. If you knew before you forgot, whatever it was you wanted to remember had been forgotten, there'd be no use trying to remember what you'd forgotten to remember because... No, hang on. Right, yeah, I've got it. Before you forgot what you can't remember, you'd remembered what, at that moment in time, you hadn't forgotten. So, to remember what, before you'd forgotten, was what you never thought you'd have to remember. Because at that moment of non-forgettability, you never thought that you wouldn't remember what you were going to forget. Even if you'd forgotten to remember not to forget. So, if you can answer one simple question, I think we've got it cracked.
And, what's the question, Wilfred?
What was it you'd forgotten?
You're a duckhead, Wilfred. If he knew that, we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, there you are, then. And you're always right. Now all we have to do is sort out my problem.
And what's that, lad?
I forgot what the question was.
Ah, come in, Uncle Nasty.
Well, have you heard the news?
Yes, I was just telling him.
What do you think, then?
Well, that's the words.
Well, I certainly am.
Why?
Because I can't remember what it is I had to tell him.
You tripe down rubbish. That phone call this morning from the local radio.
That's it. Listen, the manager of the local radio station rang me this morning. He wants me to do my own radio programme. The Uncle Rubbish Show.
Oh, I think that's fantastic.
Sure do I, all that. Congratulations.
Thank you, yes. I feel very honoured. At last, somebody's recognised the wealth of talent contained inside these four walls.
Just think, Uncle Rubbish, entertaining the nation.
How did it come about, Uncle Rubbish?
Well, Melanie, they're having what they call a do-it-yourself week, where distinguished members of the community contribute to the output.
And are you a distinguished member of the community, Uncle Robbie?
So it would appear, Melanie. At least the manager of the local radio station thinks so.
And who is this prize Wally who thinks you're a distinguished member of the community?
Sid Squeak.
That's all we need.
He's a good lad, is old Sid Squeak.
Well, don't invite him round here. My best jacket's only just dried out after the last visit.
Hey, Fred Fibber. Come in, Fred. All right, Aunt.
Hello, Fred. How you doing, mate?
Hey, have you heard news then, Fred? You mean about me knighthood? I didn't know that I'd leaked out. It's not official till next Thursday.
No, Fred. About Uncle Rubbish having his own local radio programme.
Well, there's nothing fantastic about that, pal. I've done more radio shows than I've had hot dinners.
I didn't know you'd broadcast, Fred.
You what? Who do you think it is who runs BBC World Service, eh? Me and our Enid from our back bedroom.
You liar, Fibber.
I'm telling you, it was my father who used to provide cat's whiskers for Marconi. Brilliant. They want a cat safe in our street.
You'll be telling us next he invented television.
No, no, that would be Uncle Logie.
You know, you never fail to impress me, Fred.
My family's full of inventors. Take me great-aunt Nellie.
I'd love to.
There she is one day, knocking on my Uncle Charlie's back door. He hasn't switched his death aid on, has he? So she's knocking. 3 hours. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. And says to herself, hey, oh, this could be good. And that's how she invented Morse code.
I have never heard such a load of bunkum in my life.
Listen, pal, don't you start on me, because I'll tell you something else that'll floor you. It was my Auntie Nellie's grandma who modelled for Statue of Liberty.
Balderdash.
That's her, Granny Balderdash. Hey, fancy you knowing her name.
Anyway, don't forget to tune in, Fred. What time's it on, then?
What time's it on, old gaffer? 5 o'clock this afternoon. Ah, what a shame I can't listen.
Oh, why's that, old lad?
I'll be in a cabinet meeting.
Well, that is it. I've got you this time, Fibber. There's no way you attend cabinet meetings at 10 Downing Street.
It's not at 10 Downing Street, clever clogs. It's at our house. Me and Irene are having a meeting to decide where to put new cocktail cabinet. Got you all there, didn't I? Ta-ra, lads.
What do you think of Uncle Rubbish having his own radio show, ma'am?
What time have I to think about anything? Oh, I can't go.
Why don't you ask him if you can go on his show talking about cookery?
Cookery? Cookery? You are joking. What do I know about cookery? Look at today. I have to make a meal for 10 people out of a tin of sardines, a jar of beetroot and half a turnip. Oh, why don't they take me away? And your father's driving me crackers.
What do you mean doing, Dad?
I don't know. He's been cleaning my kitchen drawers out.
That's nice.
With a flipping hose pipe. They're all full of water. And he didn't have the sense to empty them first. Oh, I can't cope.
Why did you do that, Dad?
I don't know.
Is lunch ready yet, Frida?
Yes, we don't want to be late. We have to leave for the studios in an hour.
It smells nice, whatever it is.
It's sardine and beetroot in mashed turnip.
Ah, lovely.
Ah, here's Mr. and Mrs. Amnesia.
Oh, blimey. Talk about nutcases. I'm surprised they've remembered where the kitchen is.
What do you think of Uncle Rubbish going on the radio, Mrs. Amnesia?
Who is it really, dear? Did you know that, Cecil?
Did I know what, dear?
Uncle Rubbish is going to be on the radio. The radio.
The radiator, dear, is it?
Stands on the sideboard and makes a loud noise.
No, your mother, dear. No.
Sometimes we have to hit it hard to make it work.
What's your mother, dear?
The radio. The radio.
What about the radio, dear?
Uncle Rubbish is going to be on it.
Won't he find it a bit uncomfortable?
Well,
Mr. Cecil, you're getting worse.
I think it's a toss-up between the two of you.
Well, I think it's wonderful, don't you, Geoffrey?
I do, Ernest.
I forget about me and Geoffrey on our little spot.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because I want everybody to be involved. I shall do me tiny tots tea time, toy time, time, time.
Oh, no. That really gets right up my nose, that does.
Well, what can I do?
Stick your fingers in the light socket.
Now, I want you and Wilfred to be the backroom boys, putting on the records and things.
Ah, oh, great. Oh, I'm getting excited.
Right, you lot. Dinner's up.
Oh, Freda. That looks absolutely...
Shall we go to the studio and get a sandwich on the way?
Oh, if you'll settle yourselves in the studio, I'll switch on the sensational new stereo system recently installed for the BBC at enormous cost.
Ah, thank you, Mr. Squeak. Are you nervous, old gaffer?
No, so long as I know which knobs and switches to press.
Ah, Mr. Squeak will tell you.
You are broadcasting on a frequency of 666 kilohertz. 17.6 gasometers and 37 motorcycles. This superb sound can be heard by our listeners in old-fashioned wireless sets, transistors, personalized stereos, and Rasta Blasters. Now you'll start broadcasting in around 30 seconds. Our announcer in our studio next door is just dispensing the weather forecast.
If he were standing where I am, it'd be persistent scattered showers.
Stand by in the studio. I'll see you later. All the best.
Whatever you do, don't panic. There's no problem. Everything is under control.
5 seconds.
Oh. Get me music ready, somebody.
Right, stand by.
3, 2, 1, and go!
Hello, listeners, wherever you are, and welcome to the Uncle Rubbish Show. Mr. Rumsford, that music's going too fast, Wilfred. It's going to run for... Wilfred, it's turn it off. Turn it off. Sorry about that, everybody. To start our happy little show, I thought we'd have something for the little kiddie winks. So for all you little kiddies out there in Radioland, here is your own special part of the show, Music Wilfred. Hello, kiddies. Yes, once again it's me, your old friend Uncle Rubbish, saying once again, hello, kiddies. And welcome once again to Tiny Tots Tea Time, Toy Time Time.
I can feel the nausea coming on already.
Now then, what's the first thing we do on the programme?
Throw up.
He's only joking. No, we sing the Tiny Tots Tea Time Toy Time Time song, don't we? Right. Up to three.
It's time for Tiny Tots Time Time once again. Oh, it's time for Tiny Tots Toy Time once again. It's Toy Time for Tiny Tots. Oh, the Tiny Tots Toy Time once again. The Tiny Tots Toy Baby.
Now, wasn't that exciting? Now, kiddies, have I got a surprise for you today?
Good. You're going to let me swap your ears over.
He doesn't mean it.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. No, because today I want you to guess what is inside the Tiny Tots Tea Time, Toy Time Time, Toy Cupboard. Go on. other guests.
If he gets that rotten book of nature out, I'll ram it down his stinking throat.
He's only joking. It wouldn't fit.
I'd widen your throat.
Yes, well, kiddies, Uncle Nasty is right. It is the Uncle Rubbish Book of Nature. Now then, shall we open it at page 27? Because on page 27 is one of my favourite chapters. Here we are, chapter 5, Discovering Ponds.
Chapter 6, Chucking You In One. Chapter 7, Filling It With Cement. Chapter 8, Building a Motorway Over It.
I love ponds. It's amazing what lovely, friendly creatures exist in the murky depths of a pond. I take my little plastic bucket, and I wade into the middle of the pond, and I dig down with my hands into the slime and sludge, and I bring up great big handfuls of it. What it is I bring up, I'm not prepared to say. But it stopped me biting my nails.
You must have been a revolting little toad when you were a kid.
Yes, I was, thank you. I can remember when I was a little toad. I found a water beetle that was limping. Yes, it had sprained its little ankle running for a bus. So I took it home, and I put a splint on its poorly leg. And then I bandaged it with some of that ointment Daddy didn't tell Mummy he had to get. Six weeks later, I took off the bandage, and you should have seen him run across the kitchen lino. I called my father and I said, come and look at the water beetle. Those 6 weeks of patient and diligent nursing have paid off. And I can see him now as he came into the kitchen, tripped over the rug and trod on me beetle. My, how I cried. But my father, he took me in his arms and he comforted me and he said, Susan, get that squashed beetle off the sole of my shoe and I'll belt you.
I'm beginning to quite like your father.
Ah, you did belt me. Anyway, as they say in Barnsley, c'est la vie. Bye-bye, kiddies. Bye-bye. What do you think, Ratface? How did it sound?
Very good, old gaffer. You're a natural. Here, stand by, Ratface. You're next with the phoning programme.
Right, everybody, and I am now going to present you to my dear friend, Ratface, who is going to introduce another edition of your favourite laugh-a-minute phoning quiz programme, Master Twit. And so it's over to you, Ratface.
Thank you. Welcome to the show that everybody's talking about. Yes. Well, the lights are flashing in our telephone exchange, so let us pick up a potential master twit at random. Here we are, line 6. Let us say hello to caller number 6. Hello, caller. Come in, caller. You're through to master twit. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, young man.
Hello?
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello. Tell us your name, sir.
Hello?
You know, I think this lad will win without answering the question. Hello.
Ah, I can hear you now. And the mouth beats in the ears again. I'm always doing that. Yes,
wonderful, wonderful.
Anyway, can I speak to my Auntie Gladys, please?
I'm sorry. I'm not with you there.
No, of course you're not with me. If you were with me, I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone. You sound a bit thick to me. Have you any idea where my Auntie Gladys is?
I'm sorry, no.
You see, I always ring my Auntie Gladys this time every day to ask how Rover is.
Oh, I see, Rover's the dog.
No, Rover's the goldfish.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. The thing is, I have to tell you that at this moment in time, you're on the wireless.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm under the table. And it's a very nice table. I made it myself.
Ah, so it's not Chippendale.
No, it's Illingworth. Brian Illingworth.
Oh, yes. Okay, Brian. Well, at this moment, you are on the popular local radio quiz program, Master Twitch.
Hey, I might have a chance with that.
And the prize is a weekend in Paris with two tickets for the Folies Bergère.
Hey, that's nice. I'll be able to take Auntie Gladys, because she's always wanted to go to India.
I'm sorry, Brian. But Paris isn't in India.
Oh, have they moved it?
Let's go, Brian. Let's give you the Master Twit question.
All right.
Now, listen very carefully, Brian.
Yeah?
This is the big one.
Is it?
Right. What famous man of history stands on the top of Nelson's Column?
Oh, dear. You give me 1 week subject with this one. Geography.
Now, if you think about it, Brian, there is a clue in there somewhere.
Could I have some time to think?
Well, how long do you want, Brian?
A fortnight.
No, Brian. I can only give you a few seconds. Now, have you thought?
Yeah.
And what's your answer?
I think you're definitely right.
Oh.
India isn't in Paris.
No. One last chance, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Search the question.
Yes?
Search the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What famous man of history, right, stands on the top of Nelson's Column? Nelson's Column.
Nelson's Column.
Have you got that, Brian? Nelson's Column.
Nelson's Column. Can you give me a clue?
Well, what kind of clue?
Can you tell me his name?
Right, Brian, I'll tell you half his name. It's Horatio. Now, come on, Brian. Nelson's Column.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. All right. It's simply it. Folies Bergère, here I come.
Good man. And the answer is...
Horatio Column.
Thank you, listeners. And now, to close this Uncut Rubbish radio show, we bring you a book at bedtime. Yes, the story so far. Dimples, the 4-year-old heiress of the Montmorency Millions, has a drink problem. Meanwhile, David and Isabel are still not speaking. Eileen is worried about Fraser's rash, which has now spread to his other knee. Sylvia tries desperately to contact Michael, but he refuses to come down off the roof. David and Isabel are not speaking even less. But Kathy has agreed to help, and on a mad impulse goes to the zoo. David and Isabel are not speaking even less, but more so. Hilary realises something must be done, so she washes her hair. Meanwhile, Peter and Shirley are babysitting. And now, they done.
I love you, whispered Shirley, as she cuddled close to Peter. Peter's heart skipped a beat. It was a moment to treasure. Suddenly, Shirley sat up with a start. Dimples has woken up, she said. I can hear her whimpering. They rushed to the baby's bedroom.
Oi, rubbish. Your microphone's on the blink. Give us a bit more voice, will you?
They rushed to the baby's bedroom. Shirley picked Dimples out of her cot. Perhaps she's got wind, said Peter.
Look, rubbish, it's getting worse. You'll have to give us a bit more volume. Come on, speak up, get on with it.
Perhaps she's got wind, said Peter quietly. Shirley gently patted Dimples on her back.
Bullock, bullock, bullock.
That's better, said Shirley. They put Dimples back in her cot.
Come on, rubbish, give us some more voice. We can hardly flipping hear you. Speak up, will you?
Dimples gurgled quietly. They got a lullaby, Peter, whispered Shirley. All right, said Peter. Go to sleep, my baby. It's no good, Shirley. Let's put her on favourite recorder. The one she always goes to sleep with every night. Right, go, whispered Shirley. Here it comes. Well, you've been listening to the Uncle Rubbish Show, starring me, Uncle Rubbish, and of course my little pals the Grumbleweeds, Albert, Carl, Graham, Morris and Robin. The Uncle Rubbish Show was written and produced in Manchester by a nice little old man, Mike Craig. Bye bye, everybody.